debunked bus. And if you've not been out there, you'll want to go out there and have a conversation with them about, first of all, how they use that bus. And second of all, just spend some time watching some of the debunked videos. That's what this shirt's all about. You'll want to look for the one online called There Is No Truth. And you'll understand Shabam. All right, and use those. But this morning we have the distinct honor of having with us Carl Kirby and his wife Masami, who is out at the resource table here. And Carl has been a friend of Harbor Shores for a number of years, and goes clear back to when Carl was with Answers in Genesis. But Carl was saved in 1987, and after that he at some point became an air traffic controller. Really easy job. Takes no brain power, just really stress-free. But while he was an air traffic controller, God used a couple of pilots to help him understand just how the authority of Scripture and how that evolution doesn't fit with what we find in Scripture. And that sent him on a track that eventually he became one of the board members at Answers in Genesis and speaker for them. And in 2011, Carl founded Reasons for Hope. And won't say a lot about that. He can share more if you get to visit with him. But one of the things I loved about it, one of the reasons he started Reasons for Hope, was because he wanted to be able to take this apologetics and the authority of Scripture wherever God would take him. It didn't matter how small or how big or where it was at. And man, God has taken Carl so many amazing places, and has really given him an opportunity with a lot of young people. And this past month has really been spent with students, largely. And so this morning, we get to hear Carl's continued passion for God and His Word and fulfilling our mission as the church, impacting thousands of lives. So we're so thankful to have with us Carl. And Masami's hit back here at the back. You'll see her taking pictures. So they've been married 36 years. So we just celebrate them. And Masami doesn't get to join very often, but this is only a couple hours from home, so it works well. So Carl, come and lead us this morning. Actually, before we get him started, I'm going to get him up here, then we're going to pray.
Yeah.
And then we'll turn it over to him.
Thank you.
How about
thank
that,
you,
brother? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we just thank you so much for your loving kindness to us, that you have not only given us your dear Son and salvation through him, but you've given us your precious Word that provides everything we need for life and for godliness. And we pray, God, this morning that you would speak to us to challenge us, to encourage us, and to change us, that we might go out, that we might know it, that we might live it, and that we might share it in a world that desperately needs to hear the gospel, to hear the truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. To the gentleman that watched Pastor Stephen do this to himself, I am not going to be that energetic. Not doing it. But I do speak quickly. That's about the only thing that moves fast anymore, the lips. So thank you guys for letting me be with you. I mean, I honestly, I go way back. I mean, I go back to the old chapel there, spoke in the old chapel the first time years ago. And then when we first started the ministry, y'all allowed us to come out and film our series here. Mr. Rob, his son, did the filming for us. So we've got a long history with you guys. And so it's an absolute privilege to be back with you. And I appreciate it. One thing, if you'd like to join us, we'll just make you aware of it, come out and dig some dinosaur bones with us. We're all about doing real world stuff, man. I want to get people out into the real world. June 8 to 11 next year, we take people out to Glendive, Montana, and you go out and you dig dinosaur bones. Because I'm a big one that says, look, if the Word of God is real and trustworthy, what I see in the world should be consistent with what I read in the Word of God. And the Word of God should make sense of these things. And it does. But I love people seeing it firsthand. So there's just an idea for you. We're going to try and have the bus out there. We'll see if we can get the bus out there. We'll talk more about the bus. But this morning for Sunday school, I guess that's what you call this, right? Sunday school. You know, people don't like Sunday school anymore. So for the early service, we're going to talk about what is truth. What is truth, and does it matter? Because in our world today, let's be honest, man, that is a key question. Is there any such thing as truth? John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and... That was lame. Full of grace and... Thank you very much. No frozen chosen allowed today. You're going to have to thaw out and get engaged. This is going to be like questions require responses, and we need some interaction here. So that comes back to the question, what is truth and does it matter? You know, it's an interesting thing. There's a book that was written a number of years ago called The Day America Told the Truth. The Day America Told the Truth. And they found that adults, 91%, 92%, 98% did what? Lie regularly, lie to save face, and lie to not offend people. Ouch. Middle and high schoolers, 92%, 73%, 91% do what? Lie to parents each week, say they lie weekly, and are satisfied with their character. So this is what research showed. And so, have any of you ever seen the TV show called House? Anybody? Questions require responses. This game. Oh, okay. Thank you. I never did, to be honest with you. I never saw any episodes of it, but I was looking through and searching truth and this sort of a thing, and I found an interesting clip from the TV show. Let me show it to you.
It's the basic truth of the human condition that everybody lies. The only variable is about what.
All right. So if everybody lies, does truth matter? Let me ask you a question. Do you think truth matters in the circumstance and situation of... Carl. Don't do this kind of stuff. Hey, man, you think truth matters there? Let's be honest. He says, I would not bring my family, our lives, or the movement through a fire like this. I just wouldn't. If he's telling the truth, do you think it matters to him? Because the press is sure having a field day with him. And if he's not telling the truth, do you think it matters? Truth absolutely does matter. Let's take a look at John 18, 36 to 38. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. And Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him. This is probably one of the most important statements ever.
And what is truth?
So what is truth? And does it matter? Well, Pastor Stephen is wearing the Truth Debunked t-shirt. May I show you the Truth Debunked video?
Yes.
One person is excited. This is going to be a great day. One person is fired up and ready to go. Well, let me warn you, mature generation, I'm just going to be very honest with you right from the very beginning. This is probably going to run all over you. Because I got to be honest with you, I'm not coming after your generation. It's not my job. God has wired me to go after this younger generation. 50 to 88% of the younger generation raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. And 9 years ago when I walked away from big ministry, I walked away because I said, we have got to reach this next generation. If we don't reach them, we're done. You might as well shut the doors to your beautiful new sanctuary that's not that new anymore, but it is still new. We might as well shut the doors, guys. Because mature generation, I love you. I need you. But here's reality. For whatever reason, we've kind of put the focus in there and not going after this younger generation. And they just think different. And so if you think that I can get up this last month, as Pastor Stephen said, this last month has been youth. 2 spiritual emphasis weeks, 2 camps. And if you think I can get up in front of those guys, today we're done. I'm not going to get to the third word. And they're gone. They're out. They've checked out. And it's hard to get them back. So me, I take advantage of the fact that I am ADD. They didn't know what it was when I was a child. If they did, they would not have put me on medication. They would have put me on an IV drip of the hospital stand, okay? Because this thing doesn't stop. And it's like, okay, Lord, if you can use this, use it. And so I come after them quick, fast paced, boom, 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 jab. It's kind of like a boxing match. Stick and move, right? Because if you stay in one place too long, they're out of there. So mature generation, show me some grace. I want your kids and I want your grandkids. And they think different. So let's address this claim that there's no such thing as truth, or you can have your truth and I can have my truth. Right? Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Let's deal with it debunk style. Put your seatbelt on.
A telling thing happened a while back when Jesus was standing in front of Pontius Pilate. It's right here in the Bible, John 18:36. Jesus says to him, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Now, Pilate says this. Wait for it. He says, "What is truth?" Shabam! There it is, the big kahuna, the spicy enchilada, the fizzy lifting drink, the question of the ages, and it's not much different today, which is why you hear claims like, "It's true for you, but not for me," or "There is no truth," or "Truth is relative, bro," or the ever so popular "Speak your truth." Now, these things all sound nice and sweetie sweet, but what in the world do they mean? Well, let's take "It's true for you, but not for me." Now, in all honesty, doesn't the person who says this to you want you to believe what he's saying? He's assuming that his relativistic claim is universally true, right? Everything is relative, I guess, except his relativism. Now, if something can only be true for me, which it can't, then it doesn't apply to you or anyone else, so what's the point in saying it? But if it is true for everyone, then the claim is wrong, because it's only claiming to be true for me and not for you. Get it? Okay, maybe it's not clear right this second, but things that contradict themselves, like this claim, cannot be true. What about the claim there is no truth? Oh, yet another statement that demolishes itself by its own standard. After all, is that claim true? If so, it's wrong. If the claim is not true, then it's true that the statement "there is no truth" is not true, which means there is truth, which makes the claim false. Moving on to the popular "speak your truth," I gotta ask you in all seriousness, is there really your truth and my truth? Truth is what is. It corresponds to reality. It's black and white, either or, fact kind of stuff, right? Tiny Tammy tossed the toy pterodactyl tenderly into the Thames that Tuesday, or she didn't. It's pretty simple, really. Truth is truth, and it doesn't change with a pronoun. Now, you might disagree and throw your hands up in objection, that is, until, of course, you are on the receiving end of a lie. I'm sorry, somebody else's truth that contradicts reality. Let's say you deposited $100 into the bank yesterday, but the banker's truth is that you didn't. Your sweet hundo, gone.
Oh, no.
Let's say you got every answer on every test right, but the teacher's truth is that you flunked the whole grade. Now, you have to repeat it. Your summer, gone. See, I think you get it. And I think you'd be fighting pretty hard for the truth, you know, the thing that corresponds to reality in those specific scenarios, because lies, I'm sorry, other people's truths that aren't true, have huge consequences. Relativism is not only flawed, it's unlivable and unsustainable. And let's be honest, nobody wants a relative answer when they ask a real question, especially if it's directions to a gas station when you have to go to the bathroom. But wait a second, what if I say my favorite candy is M&M's and you say your favorite candy is Snickers? See, what's true for me is not true for you in that sense, right? Well, actually, wrong. See, I'm saying it's true that my favorite candy is M&M's, and you are saying it's true that your favorite candy is Snickers. We're simply stating the truth about our preferences. Now, you gotta watch out for preferences, beliefs, and opinions trying to sneak their way into truth's exclusive club. After all, you can prefer that you have a blue hat when you only have a white one, but it doesn't change the facts. You can believe the moon is made out of cheese, but it doesn't make it true. And it might be your opinion that 5 plus 5 is actually 13, but you'd be wrong. See, tricky word games don't change the truth. They get you nowhere. As Double Dubs would say, you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. But what about morality? Ah, that's the big one. One person thinks it's wrong to commit adultery, and another thinks it's not. So the one might say, "I'm glad you have your truth, baby, but it doesn't work for me." First of all, what you think about the truth doesn't change it. A thing is either true or not, even moral duties and obligations. Second, truth is not dependent on the subject, that is, you or me. It's objective. So whether it works for us or not doesn't change what's actually true. Third, since these two claims are in direct opposition to one another, only one can be true. This is the irrefutable, unstoppable, unbreakable, incontrovertible law of non-contradiction smashing through the nonsensical, irrational, and weak wall of hocus-pocus relativism. And, curiously, here we are today right where Pilate was, having to deal with the one who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, claiming that no one gets to the Father, that is God, except through him. That's either true or it's not. And we can either deal with it head on, or we can, like Pilate and like Romans declares, suppress the truth and unrighteousness, which leads us to make claims like, "What's true for you is not for me," "Truth is relative," "There is no truth," etc., etc., all of which heretofore have been debunked. Adios.
All right. I was watching your faces, and I saw a lot of, "What just happened?" That was like way too much information, way too quickly. Mm-hmm. Intentionally so. So let me ask you a question. Was it done well enough that you would watch it again to try to glean some information from it? Oh, okay, cool. Was it done well enough that you might even be willing to share it with a lost person or even the toughest ministry going, your family member that doesn't know the Lord, to challenge them to think a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. If I give it to you for free, would you take it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Take your smartphone out. It's okay. I have a special dispensation. Take your smartphone out. And then all you need to do is go to your messaging software. I can't tell you which one that is, but whichever one you use. And then you text a simple word, stay bold. Now, you can do that as one word, stay bold. You can do it as two words, stay bold. Or you can do it as stay bold and let it autocorrect to stay old, and it will still work. All right? So just put that in your message, and then you text that to 51555, and you immediately become a debunked defender. And you're going to get all of the debunks. You're going to link to them, all of them for free. And then in the future, when the new ones come out, you actually get them before we release them to the general public. And it's all, well, I say it's free, but there is a cost. I would ask you to pray for us. Whenever you get these things, whenever you get our videos, please pray for us, because we're trying to produce these. We want to produce one a month in English and Spanish. Like the latest one that we just released is Spanish, because we can't afford to do both of them at the same time now. So right now we're just doing one a month. But we want to get to the stage where it's one a month, English and Spanish, because Spanish is blowing up. The numbers on our Spanish videos are like unbelievable. So take advantage of it. And then when you get a chance, get out there and take a look at the debunk bus, and we'll show you, we'll talk with you about what we do with that. Pray for us. You know, we kicked off the tour in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'll show you something about that in a second. But what we're talking about is truth. Shabam, not Shazam, okay? That's a different thing. That is the big kahuna. That is the spicy enchilada. That is, did you catch the fizzy lifting drink reference in the, no, okay. But it is the question of the ages, because what is truth? And does it matter is what we're going to do. So let's deal with truth, because the only way I know how to do things is I go do some studying. Let me take you to the dictionary. Dictionary definition for truth is being in accord with fact or reality, fidelity to an original or to a standard. That is a definition for truth. So if you want to know if something is true or not, what you need is called a standard referent. Now, if you're like me, you're saying, what's that? Because I didn't know what it was when I started researching this. I did research. In physical science, a common standard referent is needed to begin the study of the physical universe. And I'm going to say that it's also needed when it comes to the spiritual realms and the moral realms as well. You need a standard referent. Is it important to have a standard referent? You know, this is kind of a sad state of affairs, to be honest with you. Research shows when youth do not accept an objective standard of truth, okay? When you have youth to say, look, there is no such thing as truth. You got your truth, I got my truth, and everybody can have their own truth. Here's what we see. 36% are more likely to lie to a parent, 48% more likely to cheat on an exam, 2 times more likely to hurt someone physically, 3 times more likely to use drugs, and 6 times more likely to attempt suicide. You think not having a standard referent is not important? Oh, I'm going to say to you that it is absolutely important, because if nobody has truth and we all have our own thing, it's a bad day. And we see it in our culture today. Let me illustrate this for you in a simple way. Simple way. I'll ask you a question. How tall am I? Now, this is where it's Sunday school, so we can do some interaction stuff here. So, how tall am I? Anybody? 6'2". Nope, much taller. 6'4". Much taller. 6'6". What's wrong? Oh, I forgot. I'm in a church, and you guys are Christians, and you guys are so whacked. Guys, I'm much taller. I am much taller. You can't tell what's wrong with you guys. I'm actually 11 foot tall. You laugh at me. I can prove it to you. I took my picture next to a basketball rim. So I'm 11 foot tall. You don't like that? Okay. Well, I've got another piece of evidence to prove how tall I am. I actually have a ruler. And you see my ruler? When I measure myself, I'm 11 foot tall. If nobody believes me, you're welcome to come up and measure me. Anybody wish to do so? What's wrong with that? I'm sorry? My ruler's the wrong size. Let me double check. Nope, it's actually the right size. So, what's wrong with that? It's a relative ruler. No, it's my ruler. I made it. I triple checked it. It's absolutely correct. So, what's wrong with that? It doesn't match a standard. Oh, so you're one of those closed-minded, intolerant, bigoted, opinionated hicks that's trying to jam your ruler down my throat. Is that? Hey, isn't this what the world is doing to our children, guys? You better believe I do it to them as well. But they know that I care because it's like, guys, I love you. And you're walking out of here. I just came back from Florida, 2 weeks in Florida, right? Two spiritual emphasis weeks, two different schools in Florida. I've spoken there over 40, close to 50 times this year, all right? This year. Boca Raton, 450 youth, get done, line of kids coming up to talk to me. Number three young man in the line. Oh, we'll talk about him in a second. We'll get to it. I'm telling you, truth absolutely matters. And this generation is being bullied by teachers who love it when they get a Christian kid in their class so they can chew them up and spit them out. I'll give you some stories in a bit. You see, you guys are telling me that I should use this ruler, and my argument is going to be what makes this ruler right and this ruler wrong. Because you believe it. Because you were trained it. Because you were taught it. No, that has nothing to do with it. Because trust me, you could be raised in a culture that teaches you from day one that this is a foot. You could believe this with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, and be totally wrong. You don't like my ruler? How about I bring another ruler in? So now we got, which ruler's right? Oh, it's a democracy. We vote on it. Is that how we determine truth? You better hope not. You better hope not, because that's what we see going on in the culture right now, and look at where it is leading us. You see, if you want to know which ruler is right, you need to have a standard referent. You have got to have something that you can compare your rulers with to see which one is accurate. Is there such a thing? Who decides what this truth is? You know, you actually can't figure out which ruler is right. We can take all of our rulers and do something very interesting. We can take them to the original. We can take them to the standard referent, and we can compare them. But to do that, you know what you need to do? You need to get on a plane and go to... Right? Come on, yes. Hey, we go to Paris. And outside of Paris, they have a museum of all the official weights and measures. And there we can, you know, I don't like Paris, though. We went to France once, and I didn't like the French people. They were snotty, to be honest with you. So I'm not going to give them another dime. I'm going to go to Maryland, because they got great crab cakes, and I don't have to fly as far. So we go there, and they have a museum. Oh, that's not a museum. It's actually a facility where they have all the original weights and measures. We take and we compare our two rulers to the... Okay, can I hear you go, ooh? Thank you very much. Because we're going to compare it with the golden ruler. Come on, man. When I say golden ruler, you got to go, ooh. You ready? We're going to compare it with the golden ruler. Thank you very much. And when we do that, when we compare our rulers with the golden ruler, way late. Y'all got like bad timing, man. And I was even giving you the golden ruler. Thank you. When we do that, which ruler measures up? Because you believe it? Because you were taught it? Because you want it to be so? No. Because when you compared it to the original, it measured up. You see, guys, as a Christian, what is our standard referent? What is our authority? What is our standard? If you want to know if somebody is telling you truth or not, you have to have something by which you can take what is being said and compare it with. Do we have something? If it is not the Word of God, I'm telling you right now, you got nothing. And we live in a time that tells us that this book is old, outdated, filled with fairy tales, fables, you can't trust it. And 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. This is a serious business right here. Question, fact or opinion? I'm going to read these statements to you. You tell me whether they are a fact or an opinion. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, three people. We're getting better. Fact or opinion? Copying homework assignments is wrong. Cursing in school is inappropriate behavior. All men are created equal. Interesting. You got every one of those wrong. All five of you that participated in my little survey. Hey, I went from 3 to 5. I'm getting better, okay? You're all wrong. Every one of those are exact, or they are examples taken straight out of the Common Core. And according to Common Core, every one of those are opinion. Can you imagine being a teacher in today's environment where it is an opinion that cheating is wrong? If it's an opinion, then what's wrong with it? That's your opinion. My opinion, it's okay. Those are straight out of the Common Core. You see, the five of you that participated that said that it's a fact, you know what you did? You revealed your worldview. You revealed your standard. The reason it is wrong is because we have a standard that tells us that it is wrong. But if you don't have this standard, welcome to America and our education system, which says, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I'll be blunt with you. I could care less what you think. But you should care less than about what I think. We should care what does God say. As a Christian, what does God say on the topic? That's got to be our authority and our standard. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am a way. The way. The truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, guys, if that's not true, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, don't be deceived. This is something that really struck me. Don't be deceived. Intensity of belief doesn't make it so. It's the object of belief that makes it so. You can believe passionately. I can believe passionately that I am correct, and I do. Could I be wrong? Yeah. So I have to have a standard from which to know whether I'm right or not. So if you've got something that you disagree with me with over, don't bring me a textbook. Bring me the Word of God. And show me where I'm incorrect in the Word of God, because that's the standard. And intensity of faith doesn't make it so. The object of faith makes it so. Now, maybe some of you have heard this claim that all religions are the same. Anybody ever hear a claim like that?
Yes.
Oh, you have. Okay. Let's go take a look at a Buddhist monk, a Thai Buddhist monk. All religions are like different cars all moving in the same direction. People who don't see it have no light in their hearts. You know, one of the tools that I see used against this generation in a big way is you're the problem. You're the weirdo. You're the only one that thinks like that. Because, well, any enlightened person knows. Any intelligent person believes. Wait till tonight. Oh, tonight is good. Tonight is really good. And I'm not trying to, like, blow it up or anything like that. Oh, let me tell you how good I am. No, I'm telling you, tonight is good. Because tonight we are taking the argument that, look, in the beginning, you fill in the blank. In the beginning, God created, or what's the option? What's the option? 50 to 88% of the younger generation walking away from the church. What are they walking away from, and what are they walking to? But how does evolution start? According to their theory, it starts with nothing. So here's your options. In the beginning, God, or in the beginning, nothing. We're going to let the experts, the guy that wrote the book, A Universe from Nothing, Why There Is Something Rather Than Nothing, we're going to let them talk. We're going to let them explain how you get something from nothing, but we're going to critically evaluate it and tear it apart. Your kids need this. I'm going to be that bold. Your children need this. Because if they're going to walk away from the Lord, I want them to know what they're walking to, and it is a mess, a flat mess. And the vast majority don't have a clue. Oh, how about the Dalai Lama here? Yes, all religions are the same. There is no conflict. This is something we must emphasize. We must consider the question of religious diversity from this viewpoint. And when we do, we find no conflict. Why do I have to consider it from your viewpoint? You know, it's like the guys that come up to me, defend your position, but you can't use the Bible. And I'm like, why? Who died and made you God that you can dictate the rules? That's the same as me saying to you, okay, you believe in evolution? Yes, then defend your position, but you can't use mutation. What? Look, you want to tell me I can't use the Word of God because you don't believe it? I do. Here's why. Now, let's talk. I'm not going to let them dictate the rules. You have to look at it from this viewpoint. No, I don't. I need to look at it from the viewpoint of truth, and the truth is, this is ridiculous. All religions are one. They teach a divine life. I respect saints and prophets of all religions. I respect all religions, all cults, all faiths, and all creeds. I serve all, love all, mix with all, and see the Lord in all. Now, this sounds all, like I said in the debunked video, sweetie sweet, but it's not true. They are not the same. In our culture today, this is what we get, though. Oh, come on, you know, don't be so mean. You're mean. Do you know what real mean is? I'm going to be very honest with you. Real mean is me believing that there is a God who created the way that he said that he did and has prepared a place called hell, and people are going to go to it if they reject God, and me believing that with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then I walk up and pat you on the back and tell you that you're okay, and you're doing something that I firmly believe with all of my heart is going to cause you to be separated from God for all eternity and sent to hell. That's mean. You're okay. No, you're not. You're going to go to hell if you reject God. I can't patty cake that. And I think we have to love people enough that we shoot them straight. Praise God for the new ministries that Pastor Stevens told me about that you guys are doing, going down to people in the street, and they need to know there's another way. Because what is the world giving them? They're pacifying. They're telling them they're okay when they're not. And that's not mean, to be honest. True love is going to do that. Oh, let's go to a comedian. All religions are the same. Religion is basically guilt with different holidays. Look, all you need to do is do a basic study on the God of Islam, the God of Muslim, or I'm sorry, of Judaism, the God of Christianity, the God of Mormonism. They are not the same. They're not even close. Basic research. So when you see this kind of stuff, you know what I'm talking about? Know what I'm alluding to? Ever seen this sticker? Go study each one of those. And one's going to kill everybody else because they don't agree with them. I mean, it's like, this is not the same God. Salvation is not the same. Heaven is not the same. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to get in trouble on this one. But that's okay. I told you I'm going after younger generation. When you compare all these other gods with the Christian God, you know what you get? You get the Hulk gods. You don't know what I'm talking about, most of you, many of you. You will know now. This is a beautiful comparison of all the other gods with the Christian God. Take a watch.
You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by them.
Puny god. That is the other god compared to the Christian God.
Amen.
They're puny. Look, let me make a simple illustration for the more mature generation. Sorry, I know the Hulk thing probably doesn't get you, but let me take you to something else that you might recognize. Milkman Tevye, right? Fiddler on the Roof? You guys have seen this. This is classic.
He's right and he's right. They can't both be right.
That's right. They can't all be right. They can all be wrong, but they cannot all be right. How about All Religions Are the Same, part two? Oh, I am treading on thin ice now. Now I got to make sure. Because I go into this zone where I forget time and everything. I'm supposed to finish at, what time? Quarter after? Quarter till? Quarter after, okay. Ooh, you guys got more of this coming. Sorry. I do, I go into the zone, I just forget time, man. It's like, where am I supposed to finish? I knew it was... 15 before or after. I knew it was one of those two. Okay. ADD, squirrel. I'm telling you. You think I'm joking? I live with this. You only have to deal with them for like one day out of every 8 years. So you guys are like so blessed. Here we go. We're going to go do some street evangelism. You ready? You ready? You ready? All right, here we go. We're going to go downtown Chicago. We're going to hold out our sign here, and we're going to do some street evangelism. And here's our sign. And here's what it says. Speaking your truth is the most powerful truth we all have. Are you in with me? Are we going? Well, I lost a lot of yeses there. I lost a lot of yeses. Initially, we were in. Now we're not in. Why? What response are you going to get? What response do you think you're going to get downtown Chicago holding our sign out? Who says good? Who says bad? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Carl, you are a nut. If you're going to go downtown Chicago and hold that sign out, why? Because of? Who said bad? Who said, now I know that I saw hands go up and said bad. Now you're chickening out on me. Come on now. This is Sunday school. This is interaction time. Who said bad? Sir, why would it be bad? Because of the person. Not because of what it says. Do you think the majority of people that watch or read that would be in agreement with it? But just because that picture is there, well, he didn't make that statement. You know who did make that statement? Take a listen.
What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have.
Now what do you think? We walk downtown Chicago with Oprah in our little line. What do you think? Who thinks it's going to be good? Right? This is where we are as a culture. We're not looking for truth anymore. We're being marketed to based on an image, a picture. We quit looking at the teaching, we look at the teacher. We have got to identify truth where it is and false where it is. That is not true. And I don't care whose picture is associated with it. Here's why. If this is true, if her whole statement is true, then let's take a look at some of the people that she's had on her show. Some of her guests, Louise Hay. You know what Louise teaches? That the people who went through the Holocaust, that suffered through the Holocaust, the 6 million plus Jews and other people, the reason they suffered is because previous lives they did bad things, and so they were having to pay for it in this life. How about this lady that teaches that, oh, cancer is because you got emotional distress. How about this lady who, on her show, taught, look, you want to be wealthy? All you got to do is think about money. What? There shouldn't be a poor person on this planet. This is truth? No, this is lie. But now I'm really pushing the limits. Who knows who Recy Taylor is? Interesting. I didn't have a clue who Recy Taylor was until after I heard her say this, and then I did research. Take a listen.
And I just hope that Recy Taylor died knowing that her truth, like the truth of so many other women who were tormented in those years, and even now tormented, goes marching on.
I didn't have a clue who Recy Taylor was, so I went and I did the research. Recy Taylor is a woman who had left church for the evening, was walking home. 5 white men pulled her into a car, took her out into the country and abused her. When they were finished, they threw her alongside of the road, threw some money on her, and told her if she said anything, they were going to kill her. She better keep her mouth shut. Recy Taylor didn't keep her mouth shut. She went and she complained to the police. They wouldn't do anything. She got a lawyer. The lawyer came in and defended her, and the lawyer was fighting for her. Eventually, it went nowhere. Not one of those guys was ever prosecuted for their actions. Her lawyer, who ended up having to leave town because of death threats, was a lady named Rosa Parks. You know who Rosa Parks is? And then Rosa Parks came back years later and really began the whole civil rights movement. Look, I just hope that Recy Taylor died knowing that her truth, oh no, oh no, no, no. It can't be like that. Do you know why? Because her truth is she was abused, and I'm keeping it PG. What about the 5 white guys that did what they did? Their truth? We paid her for her services. That was their truth. If you can have your truth, and you can have your truth, and you can have your truth, and I can have my truth, this world is hell. We shouldn't be caring about your truth. We should be caring about the truth. And as Christians, we have it. But we're afraid to speak it because people are going to mock us and ridicule us or turn on us. If Jesus Christ can die for us while we are spitting on him, We should be able to speak the truth, regardless of what this world's going to think about us or say about us. Praise God you guys are doing the ministries that I heard about. Praise God for that. They need to know that there's another way. They're not going to get it from the world. Why does truth matter? Whew. Let me tell you about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a young lady that came up to me in Glendive, Montana, about a month and a half ago when we were digging our dinosaur bones. I spoke out there, and some families just came to hear me speak. They were driving through, and I can't remember where they were from, but she comes up to me and she says, you know what, I was Christian school, no, homeschool, Christian home, went to church my whole life. My first day in college and history, the teacher says, who wrote the book of Genesis? And she was like, in a secular school. Yeah, I got this one. Moses. And then for the next 30 minutes, that professor commenced to chewing her up and spitting her out. There was no such thing as a real Moses. That was just a figurative, and just chewed her up and spit her out. And she, after that one talk that I gave, guys, oh, look at me, how good I am. I'm just telling you what happened. It's all I can do. I report, you decide. Oh, somebody already stole that. She comes up to me and she says, today's talk was the first time anybody ever taught me how to do anything with my faith. I was always just taught what to think, not how. Not how to apply my faith. Parents, if you take anything away from this, take this. We have got to teach a generation how to think and not what to think. We've been teaching what for too long. And if they don't have application, all they have is memorization, this world knows how to destroy that. Let me take you to Michael. Michael's the young man I was started to tell you about earlier. Boca Raton, Florida, 450 students, get done, line of young people come up and start talking, line of them. Third guy in, Michael. Michael says, I go to Florida Atlantic University. Yes, I'll name the name. In Boca Raton, Florida, and I when I go out and do camps like this last week and the schools and the camps, index cards go out day one. Write down the questions that are keeping you from selling out, turn them in because that's what we're going to deal with the rest of the week. I have no agenda. I'm not coming in here with some pre-plugged in answers to questions that you're not even asking. What are they? Bring them. Day one, his psychology class, Florida Atlantic University, professor hands out index cards, he tells me. I said, oh, that's cool. He said, no, it wasn't. He really said it really wasn't. Because he said, write down Jesus on that card, stand up, put it on the ground, and step on it, because the rest of this class, we're going to destroy the greatest myth that's ever been perpetuated on this planet. And by the way, the gentleman that did that, he's now running for Palm Beach elections supervisor. How about Molly? You think truth matters to Molly? Molly heard me speak at a camp. 2 years in her public high school, she is going to the principal trying to get me to speak in her public school, and he wouldn't do it. 2 years! Finally, her senior year, this young lady had such tenacity and such a good character that the principal finally capitulated and said, you can have them in. But on a Friday night, not during school hours, and competing against a home basketball game. Oh, yeah. So Miss Molly, that young lady right there, she did it. And Miss Molly had that high school auditorium 90% filled. 90% filled. I walk in that night with my son, and I said, so Molly, what did you want me to talk about tonight? And she looks at me like I'm stupid, and she says, I want you to preach the gospel. I said, Molly, you don't understand. Like, it would have been about 4 months, 5 months before that, I'd spoken in a public school in Pennsylvania. We drive up. They want me to talk about racial reconciliation. But I can't preach. Hello? There is no answer to racial reconciliation if there is no God that created the way that he said that he did. I said, guys, I can't do that talk and not preach. You have to use the word of God to do it. There is no other answer to this issue without God. I said, I'll change the talk. So I changed the talk to the fossil talk. You guys that have been around for a while, you've seen me do that talk. And it's just taking the phylogenetic charts, the secular charts, not Christian stuff. Their charts and showing them, and now take a look at this. This says that this thing turned into this, turned into this, turned into this. But notice this here. This means there's evidence here. There's no evidence for any of this changing. Maybe there's another way. 10 minutes into the talk, they pulled the fire alarm to get me out of there. 1,100 kids, boom, fire alarm. One kid jumps up, finally something that's interesting, and they do this. 10 minutes. No God, no Bible, fire alarm. You want me to preach the gospel? Yeah. And I want you to do an altar call. This is a true story. I go to her pastor who was there, Pastor Scott Land. It's a church in Cincinnati. This was in Cincinnati. Glen Estes, right outside of Glen Estes, if you want to fact check me and see if I'm telling you the truth or not. Scott Land, pastor of Cornerstone something. And it'll come up. Scott Land, Cornerstone something, it'll come up. All right? And so I go to him, I say, Pastor Scott, she wants me to do an altar call. He said, man, that's great. I said, yeah, it is great, but I said, I'm a butterfly. I'm here, I'm gone. These kids don't need a butterfly. These guys need somebody who is here in their community that they know cares and loves on them. I said, would you do the altar call? He said, well, sure. I said, okay, but now can I ask you to do my altar call? What do you mean? I said, sir, I'm a weird one. I admit it. If you guys don't know by now, if you've never heard me speak before, other guys know, I'm weird. And I'm okay with that. God said to be a peculiar people. Nothing wrong with being weird. Just be weird for the right reason. So I said, here's what I want. I don't do the, okay, everybody bow your head. And I'm not trying to, whoops, that sounds weird. That was my jacket. I don't do that. Bow your head, slip your hand up. Okay, I see that hand. It's okay. Nobody sees you. No. No, I don't do that. Look, if Jesus Christ is tearing at your heart, there's no hiding it, brother. I'm telling you. You can't cover it up. And if you can't come forward here in this environment where these people are going to love on you and encourage you and lift you up, you're never going to walk out the doors of this church and be bold. It's not going to happen. So deal with it. That's my altar call. I don't do a lot of altar calls, okay? That night, I'm not going to give you evangelical numbers. There had to be a minimum of 90 to 100 kids who stretched down the hallway of this public school through the front of that auditorium on their face, on the floor. You think Molly didn't care about truth? How about Bethany? Ooh, Bethany. She was at the exact same camp that Molly was at. Exact same camp. But she was a senior, Molly was a sophomore. 6 months later, Bethany is in Auburn University. And she writes me. This is what she wrote me. Mr. Kirby, I attended the camp you spoke at this past summer. I'm now a freshman at Auburn University and I am planning to study in the field of science. I've always attended a Baptist church with my parents. I was raised in a Christian home. Up until 6 months ago, I would call myself a devout Christian. I was never taught about other religions aside from Christianity. I was just told they were wrong. Parent, do me a favor, please. If you don't feel comfortable with it, get a Sunday school started here. Start dealing with comparative religions. Like I was talking about earlier, they are not the same. And if all you do is tell them that they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, why are we right? This generation needs to know why they know what they say they know and not just regurgitate something that they've heard. They've got to wrestle through these things. Just tell them that they're wrong isn't going to work with this culture. They know how to destroy this. Watch. As you said at camp, the church has given answers that don't hold any water in a debate. I knew my beliefs would be questioned when I came to college. I just wasn't expecting to not have reasonable answers. I am doubting my faith at this time. I can't answer the questions that are asked of me, at least not with answers that I actually believe. I can easily repeat what was told me. That is part of the major challenge that we have in the church. We educate the same way the world does. Regurgitation. Let me give you information. You memorize it. Come back tomorrow, I'm going to test you. You're going to regurgitate back to me what I gave you, and I'm going to grade you on how well you regurgitate. And to be blunt with you, regurgitation isn't pretty. Doesn't look good. Doesn't smell good. And we shouldn't educate like that. We need application. She continues, the professors and friends I have met have logical reasoning behind their beliefs. Oh, I doubt that seriously. I've heard the arguments, and we're going to talk about it tonight. Something from nothing. Wait and hear how logical this all sounds. Whereas I lack any reasons I support, I found out within a matter of weeks that I was uneducated, ignorant, narrow-minded, and didn't stand a chance against the arguments and the questions I was presented with. That's why I did what I did, Mr. Rubb. Oh, you're one of those closed-minded, intolerant, bigoted people. Because that's what the world's going to do to them. And if they don't have a support base around them, and here they are, the lone stranger in this classroom, their grade is dependent on what this knucklehead says about them, thinks about them. As a minimum, you know what's happening? Silence. Don't want to get found out. Don't want to get mocked. Now I'm verging on not only seeing their side of the story, but believing it. This genuinely scares me, and it breaks my heart. It's the reason that I do what I do. It's the reason I walked from big ministry to go talk in spiritual emphasis weeks, camps. I was booked a year and a half out. Big events. And now you're going to go speak to camps? Yes. Because that's the future. And if you don't reach them, shut your doors. I do not want to believe that I have no purpose, that a God doesn't exist, that everything I've been taught was a lie. Yet, is this why religion exists, to appease our fears? No. I dealt with her for about a month. Boom, boom, back and forth, sent her stuff. I've not heard from her since. You better believe I pray for Bethany. I don't know where she stands right now. This is just one. You want me to spend another 20 minutes reading some emails to you? No, you don't. You think truth matters? What about Jesus? Did he really do what he said that he did? Because let's be blunt. If Jesus didn't do what he said that he did, the way that he said that he did it, we're in trouble. Scripture even tells us that. Take a look. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 14. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if our Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. What are you doing sitting here on a Sunday morning when the weather's beautiful outside? Dude, you could be fishing right now. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Watch this. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Does truth matter? As a Christian, you better believe it does. Truth absolutely does matter. And because it does matter, then let me give you three things. I haven't asked you to take notes up until now. Here's your note time. I don't do those insert things. I should, but I forget about them. Let me give you three things. Number one, because truth matters, you should embrace it. As a Christian, we should embrace truth. Think of the example that we have with the Bereans, Acts 17:11. Everybody knows this. The mega star of the day, the mega preacher of the day, comes into town and preaches. And what do these people do? They take what he says and they examine the scripture to see if what he's saying is so or not. Look, if they can do that to Paul, you better do it to me. And they did it daily. You better embrace it. And that leads right into search for it as well. Because we live in a world that's telling you that there's no such thing. 2 Timothy says this, do your best to present. And the word King James says to study, to show yourself approved. Dude, that means studying requires getting in and digging. Our faith is not a passive faith. Our faith is one that is based on fact, that is based on reality, and we got to take it as such. It's going to take some work. You're going to have to ask some questions. You're going to have to go to people. Ooh, I hate this. I don't like... Oh, not allowed to say hate. Bad word. My grandchildren get mad at me every time. I dislike this. They do. They get mad. Dad, grandpa. That's a bad word. It's the truth. Ask my wife. She's back there nodding her head. I know. Look, you're going to have to get in and dig. That's just reality. And you need to stand up for it. You need to embrace it, you need to search for it, and you need to stand up for it. Think of Esther. What kind of backbone did it take in that day for a woman? Ooh, Carl. Man, I'm telling you right now, Go back and study how women were treated during that time. And she's going to walk into the king and do what she did. Philippians 1:27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Oh, Carl, that's sexist. No, we need men. We need men, spiritual men, loving their wives as Christ loved the church, willing to die for them. You know, it's been interesting. I do a men's talk, and some ladies at the homeschool conference heard me speak, and they actually went up to my booth and told the lady who was helping me at the booth, he's sexist. He's talking to men. And I was like, you know, that is, to me, ridiculous, to be blunt with you. It's ridiculous. Because what did I tell the men? Men, you need to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, wives submit to your own husband. Oh, look at that. Go read that entire chapter. I did. You know what it says? It's got 66 words of instruction to the ladies. It's got 167 words of instruction to the men. And if the men did what they were supposed to do, I guarantee you the ladies would be able to do what they're called to do either, as well. But it starts with us. Men, it starts with us being men, loving our wives like God did, willing to die for them. Look, if I'm willing to die for my wife, I think she can find submission to me easy. Because it's not demeaning, it's not disrespectful, it's not me domineering. Catch those three D's? But. We've got to do it God's way. Not the way that I think, not the way that I feel, not the way that the culture tells me this is the way men are supposed to be. No, those are weenies. And we don't need weenies. We need men. Ephesians 4:15, we speak the truth in love. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, one of the questions that came up day before yesterday. No, it was yesterday, right? Because I flew home. No, I flew home day before yesterday because I drove up yesterday. It's nuts. All right. So Friday, I do the last Q&A with the students. All right. And one of the questions they asked was, what about teen dating? I'm the creation evolution apologetic guy. Teen dating? Yeah, that was good. It's very easy. Don't do it. Next. That's what I did. But then I said, that's not going to suffice for most of you, so let's go through some other things. If you do it, because I'm not your parent, I can't make you do it or not to do it, but let's talk about what God says about relationships. What's he say about that? Because if this over here isn't leading to this over here, then you shouldn't do this over here. And I'm not telling you that. He's telling you that. And we went through some of the things that we should be looking for in relationships. Yeah, it was interesting. I got good responses from the kids, though. It was very interesting. It was interesting. So, look, if you're, and one of the things I said to him is, if you're dating a non-Christian, you're dead wrong. I don't like dating, period. But if you're dating a Christian, I'm going to take a dogmatic stand on that. You're dead wrong. You will not find missionary dating, missionary marriage in the Scripture. It's not there. Oh, Carl, some of you in here are married to non-believers and now you're a hater. No, I'm not. My wife got saved before I did. We got married. We were both non-believers. She got saved before I did. And because of her living the life, 2 years later, I came to know the Lord. But I'm saying that God doesn't want us to willingly put ourselves into that position. If you are in that position, God deals with that. And she lived it. Notes. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. On the mirror when I go shave in the morning. Lunch. Bible verses. Yes, I dealt with it. But don't put yourself willingly into that position. So, Ellen, the ADD thing kicked in. And the whole reason was, don't do this. You're not supposed to do it. So, there's one last thing. One more reason that truth is so important. And I'm actually going to finish early. Huh? No applause? I can't extend it another 10 minutes if you want. No, I won't do that. Because truth, existence of truth, points to the existence of God. I want you to ponder that and chew on this a little bit. If there is no truth, then there can't be a God. Not the biblical God. So the fact that we see truth in the world points to a transcendent moral being. Because without it, it's all speculation. And by the way, the world understands that. They understand it very, very well. So, the question is, what is truth? Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's truth. And the Word dwelt, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What we see in the world is absolutely consistent with the history that we have in the Word of God. It is not consistent with any other history. The slow gradual process is something coming from nothing. We'll deal with that tonight. But John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So we can either accept that and study to get into know why we believe what we say we believe, or we can keep doing what we're doing, which is everybody's got their own opinion. It's not good living in a world where talk show hosts are determining what truth is. Be bold. Father, I give it to you. Just turn it over to you and ask that you would be glorified. Lord, I am far from perfect, and you know that. But God, we have got to call each other back to your word and to your authority, because if we don't, we are in trouble. We are to be pitied. We're to be pitied if your word's not true. So God, we're giving ourselves to you today. And I'm asking that you would do something even in our midst that we're not even beginning to be prepared for. And that, Lord, you're going to be glorified through our obedience. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Stephen. I thank you for the elders that would allow me to come back. And I ask, God, I ask that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carl. Man, we just appreciate so very much his ministry. Let's show our appreciation to him. We have 20 minutes till our next service, so it's a great opportunity to go out and check out the resource table and go out and check out the van. I know Dave will be out there and can give you more information. Talk to Carl. You got questions? I know that, man, that's his bread and butter, is to be able to talk through the questions you have. And right now might be a good time to plug the Science and the Bible PM elective. So if you're looking at PM electives, you can sign up for those during this time right out there at the Welcome Center. So we'll see you back here in 20 minutes, and God bless you.